ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நம. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 3. புருஷார்த்தாதிகரணம். புருஷார்த்தா அத்தஹா சப்தாதிதி பாதராயணஹ சேஷத்வாத் புருஷார்த்தவாதா யதா அன்யேஷு இதி ஜைமினிஹி ஆசாரதர்ஷனாத் தஸ்ருதேஹே சமன்வாரம்பணாத் தத்வதோ விதானாத் நியமாச்ச அதிக உபதேசாத்து பாதராயணஸ்ய ஏவம் தத்தர்ஷனாத் துல்யம் து தர்ஷனம் அசார்வத்ரிகீம் விபாகா சதவத் அத்யயனமாத்ரவதஹ ந அவிசேஷாத் ஸ்துதயே அனுமதிர்வா காமகாரேண ச ஏகே உபமர்தஞ்ச ஊர்த்வரேதஹ சுச சப்தேஹி. பராமர்ஷாதிகரணம். பராமர்ஷம் ஜைமினிஹி அசோதனா ச அபவததிஹி அனுஷ்டேயம் பாதராயணஹ சாம்யஸ்ருதேஹே விதிர்வாதாரணவத். ஸ்துதி மாத்ராதிகரணம். ஸ்துதி மாத்ரம் உபாதானாதிதி சேத் ந அபூர்வத்வாத் பாவசப்தாச்ச. பரிப்ளவாதிகரணம். பரிப்ளவார்த்தா இதி சேத் ந விசேஷிதத்வாத் ததா ச ஏக வாக்கியதா உபபந்தாத். அக்னீந்தனாத்யதிகரணம். அத ஏவ ச அக்னீந்தனாதி அனபேக்ஷா சர்வாபேக்ஷாதிகரணம். சர்வாபேக்ஷா ச யஜ்ஞாதி ஸ்ருதேஹே அஸ்வவத் சமதமாத்யுபேதஹ ஸ்யாத் ததபிது தத்விதேஹே ததங்கதயா தேஷாம் அவஶ்ய அனுஷ்டேயத்வாத். சர்வாநானுமத்யதிகரணம். சர்வாநானுமதிஶ்ச ப்ராணாத்யயே தத்தர்ஷனாத் அபாதாச்ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே சப்தாஶ்ச அத அகாமகாரே. ஆஶ்ரமகர்மாதிகரணம். விஹிதத்வாச்ச ஆஶ்ரமகர்மாபி சஹகாரித்வேன ச சர்வதாபித ஏவ உபயலிங்காத் அனபிபவஞ்ச தர்ஷயதி அந்தராச்சாபிது தத்ருஷ்டேஹ. விதுராதிகரணம். அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே விசேஷ அனுக்ரஹஶ்ச அதஸ்விதரஜ்யாயோலிங்காச்ச தத்பூதாதிகரணம். தத்பூதஸ்ய து ந அதத்பாவோ ஜைமினிஹி அபி நியம அத தத்ரூப அபாவேப்யஹ. ஆதிகாரிகாதிகரணம். ந ச ஆதிகாரிகம் அபி பதன அனுமானாத் தத் அயோகாத். பகிரதிகரணம். பகிஹி து உபயதாபி ஸ்மிருதேஹே ஆசாராச்ச. ஸ்வாம்யதிகரணம். ஸ்வாமினஹ பலஸ்ருதேஹே இதி ஆத்ரேயஹ. ஆத்விஜ்யம் இதி ஔதுலோமிஹி தஸ்மைஹி பரிக்ரியதே. ஸ்ருதேஶ்ச சககாரியந்தரவிதி அதிகரணம். சககாரியந்தரவிதிஹி பக்ஷேண திருத்தீயம் தத்வதோ வித்யாதிவத். கிருஷ்ணபாவாத்து கிரகிணோபசம்ஹாரஹ மௌனவத் இதரேஷாம் அபி உபதேசாத். அனாவிஷ்காராதிகரணம். அனாவிஷ்குர்வன் அன்வயாத். ஐஹிகாதிகரணம். ஐஹிகம் அபி அப்ரஸ்துத பிரதிபந்தேஹே தத்தர்ஷனாத். பிசாம் அப் டு திஸ் சூத்ரா 51st சூத்ரா 4th பாதா 3rd சாப்டர் 476th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. அண்ட் லெட் அஸ் நவ் கோ டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் அதிகரணம். இட் இஸ் கால்ட் முக்தி பலாதிகரணம். 17th டாபிக். 17th அதிகரணம் ஆஃப் தி 4th பாதா 3rd சாப்டர். ஏவம் முக்தி பல அநியமஹா தத் அவஸ்தாவத் அவஸ்தாவத்ருதேஹே ததவஸ்தாவத்ருதேஹே. This is the 52nd sutra, fourth pada, third chapter, 477th running Brahma Sutra. And the last sutra, Adisadhikaran, with only one sutra. And we will see the general introduction to this Adhikarana. And in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya talks about the relationship between Jnanam and Mukti. Relationship between Jnanam and Mukti. And in the previous Adhikaranam, he talked of Jnana Sadhanam and Jnanam. Jnana Sadhana produces Jnanam and Jnanam produces Moksha. And Jnana Sadhanam is caused and Jnanam is the effect. And Jnanam is caused and Moksha is the effect. And in the previous Adhikaranam, we asked the question, whether Jnana Sadhanam produces Jnanam in the current Janma itself or in the next Janma. And here we ask the question, whether Jnanam produces Moksha in the current Janma or in the future Janma. And the answer is, here, the previous rule should not be extended. That is what we should be careful. With respect to Moksha Palam from Jnanam, the previous niyama cannot be applied and Jnanam gives moksha instantaneously. And it is said Jnanam itself is moksha. Very unique thing. Knowledge itself is the moksha. We will see actually general analysis of this sutra. And here Vyasacharya says, Mukti Phala Aniyamaha. Niyamaha means rules mentioned in the previous Adhikarana, which we saw in this last class. Indefiniteness, namely Jnanam may come or may not come in this Janma. There is an indefiniteness associated with Jnanam. And this rule cannot be applied here. Why? Jnanam gives moksha in the present Janma itself. Why present Janma? Jnanam itself is moksha. The reason for this is the definition of moksha proves this. And what is the definition of moksha? Moksha is Brahma Bhavaha, being Brahman itself is Moksha. The Upanishad very clearly says, Jnanam produces Brahma Bhava instantaneously. There is no time lag. The knowledge is of the nature that I was, I am, and I ever will be Brahman. I was, I am, and I ever will be Brahman is that knowledge. The nature of the knowledge is that. That is the knowledge. And this Brahma Bhava does not happen gradually also. All are really bombs. The Brahma Bhava does not happen gradually also. There are two interpretations of this sutra actually, different from each other. We'll see both. Here we talk about the relationship between Jnanam and Mukti, Moksha. And in the previous Adhikarana, we saw the difference between Vichara and Jnanam. Vichara is Jnana Sadhanam and Jnanam, the cause and effect. That Jnanam is the cause, Moksha is the effect, I already said. And Vichara gives Jnanam, Jnanam gives Moksha. Just we have two pairs of cause-effect relationship. First pair we saw in the previous Adhikaranam yesterday. And we see the second pair in the final Adhikaranam, namely this Adhikaranam. And in the previous Adhikaranam, we saw Vichara produces Jnanam. And how long we take for Vichara to produce Jnanam? We cannot predict. The process is unpredictable time-wise. Even though Vichara is cause and has to produce knowledge, there is unpredictability because students' minds are different. Most important, it is the dosha of the adhikari. Because of various obstacles caused, these are called adrishta pratibandhas, which are not known, adrishta pratibandhas. Because pratibandha varies from student to student. We cannot say when the vichara will produce jnanam. In some cases, it may take years, janmas. In some cases, it may not happen in this janma itself. It may be in the next janma or some other future janma. Kala niyamaha nasti. We are not sure whether we get jnanaphalam now or in future. Now we take the next pair in this adhikarana. Jnanena moksha utpatti, that is the discussion here. And when it comes to that, what about the niyama? Is it also indefinite like the previous case, or is it not? If it is indefinite, what will be the condition? I may get jnanam and moksha. I will get now or in future and wait for the Lord's clearance, let us say. In fact, there are some philosophers who say the time of moksha, Bhagavan alone decides, and we cannot question Bhagavan on this. Some people interpret that way also. For some devotee, he takes less time. And for some other devotee, it will take more time, and they bring all the karma theory, everything. We cannot also question God in this regard. For that we say it is not so. But what we say for this discussion, it is not so is our answer. Indefiniteness mentioned in previous case is not applicable in this case. It means moksha comes immediately on gaining jnana. And the word aniyamaha in this sutra, one must understand carefully. Aniyamaha refers to that there is no rule, no niyama mentioned in the previous adhikarana. The rule mentioned in the previous adhikarana is aniyama. Niyama of aniyama is not applicable in this case, and it means there is definiteness. Moment you get jnanam, moksha is immediate. There is definiteness. It is niyama bhavaha. There is definiteness with respect to kala, time, connecting jnanam and moksha utpatti. And what is the kalam? We can very definitely say. Now the question is, what is the definite time gap between jnanam and moksha in the case of all jnanis in all the four yugas? Regardless of whether it is Satya Yuga, Treta or Dwapara or Kali Yuga. Jnani and jnanam and moksha. And Shankaracharya very clearly says, there is no time lag between jnanam and moksha. It is instantaneous. With respect to this rule, there is definiteness. All the people who attain jnanam will attain moksha. And now question is, why there is no progression requiring time in this case? Could be gradual. Jnanam and moksha are eka rupam only, which does not have any gradation or progression. And what Shankaracharya has to say on this regard, let us see. Shankaracharya points out, first of all, in jnanam, there is no gradation at all. In jnanam itself, there is no gradation at all. Since everyone must gain knowledge, what is the knowledge? Aham, Brahma, Asmi, iti knowledge. So in the case of Saguna Upasana, there is gradation possible. In the case of Saguna Upasana, it is Upasana. Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, Saguna Brahma Upasana. So Saguna Upasana, there is gradation possible. In Upasana, Taratamyam. Taratamyam means gradation is possible. So also in the Palam also, when there is gradation in the Upasana, the Palam also will vary. In Saguna Ishvara, gradation is there. In Aham Brahma Asmi Jnanam, there is no gradation. In Moksha also, there is no gradation. We define Moksha as what? As Brahma Bhavaha. Brahma Bhavaha means Brahma Swarupa Aikya Praptihi. Attainment of the nature of Brahman. Brahma Bhava itself is moksha because Brahman by nature happens to be Nitya Mukta Swarupam Samsara Rahita. Brahman is free from Ajnana. All the karmas, karmani, janma, marana, chakram, the cycle of birth and death, Brahman is beyond all that. All are not there in Brahman. Brahma Bhava is moksha bhava. Since in nature of Brahman there is no gradation, in the nature of moksha also there is no gradation. Either you are Brahman or you are not. That is all the thing. I am 70% Brahman, 80% Brahman, 99.99% Brahman. All those don't exist. Either you have understood you are Brahman or you have not understood, period. Therefore, there is no gradation in all these three. If there is no gradation, no progression is also possible. Gradation abhavatim, progression abhavaha. Hence, you cannot talk about time gap at all. And time gap can be increased or decreased. When there is a gap, it can be increased or decreased. How do you know all these things? Will be the next question. You are telling all these things between jnanam and moksha. They have not seen anybody going through like that. How are you saying that there is no gradation and all that thing, no gap? That is the pramanam for this. Shankaracharya says, study the Upanishad properly. In Brahman, there is no gradation is clear from the definition of Brahman. You have seen in many places. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 8th section, 8th mantra, Astulam, Ananu, all that mantras we have seen. And again, 3rd chapter, 9th section, Sayesha Neti Neti Atma. And in Chandogya Upanishad also, Yatra Nanyat Pashyati, Nanyat Shrunoti, all that mantras we have seen. Mundaka Upanishad, Brahma Vedam, Amritam, Purastad. All those mantras very clearly says, there is no gradation. It is very, very clear definition of Brahman. Brahman is attributeless, and therefore gradation is not possible. And again, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th Brahman, 25th mantra says in that, Sava Yesha Mahanaja Atma Ajaraha Amaraha Amritaha Abhayaha Brahma Abhayam Brahma Abhayam Vai Brahma Apyagam Him Vai Brahma Bhavati Yevam Veda. This mantra also we have seen many times earlier. All these mantras, they indicate in Brahman there is no gradation whatsoever. In Moksha also there is no gradation. What about Jnanam? For that also there is clear Shruti Vakyam in Mundaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 3rd Mundakam, 2nd section, 9th mantra. Sayohavai tat paramam brahma veda brahmaiva bhavati. Na asya abrahmavitkule bhavati. That person will not be even born in a family of ajnanis almost. The knower of Brahman is Brahman. Brahmavit apnoti param taitriya. The most important thing is the verb used by the Shruti. One who knows Brahman is Brahman, not will be Brahman. It does not say he will become Brahman. Present tense. This Shankaracharya very, very elaborately he analyzed in Samanvaya Sutra that we saw in the first chapter, 4th Sutra, Brahma Sutra. Yavalitattu Samanvaya. Very important sutra. I have discussed that elaborately when we discussed the first chapter. Tattu Samanvaya 1.1.4, that is the Samanvaya Sutra that establishes this fact. Between Jnanam and Moksha, there is no time gap. Being knower of Brahman is Brahman itself. And what is the logic behind this? The knowledge of Brahman happens to be unique knowledge, different from other types of knowledge. These are all fundamentals only. We have discussed this many times. I'm just only saying all those for the sake of completion of this discussion. Brahman knowledge is considered to be Brahman knowledge only when you can say Aham Brahma Asmi. Till that time, it is not Brahman knowledge. When I say confidently, I am Brahman. Brahman knowledge is considered to be Brahman only when you say Aham Brahma Asmi, without any doubt. All other knowledge is in the form of second or third person singular. But Brahman knowledge is first person. I am Brahman. So Brahma Jnanam is Brahma Bhavaha. So Shankaracharya says, Brahman I am. Brahma Bhavaha is Moksha, and therefore Brahma Jnanam is Moksha. There is no Taratamyam, no gradation, no Kala Beda, no gradation and all that thing with respect to Jnanam and Moksha. And also in Mundaka Upanishad also it is said that we already said the knower of Brahman is Brahman, and Shruti does not say he will cross over samsara and all those. There is no future tense anywhere. All are in present tense. Time of knowledge is time of Brahma Bhava, and time of Brahma Bhava is time of freedom, liberation, moksha. If a person says, I have Jnanam, but I have not crossed sorrow, then Vedanta says, you don't have Jnana. Knowledge of Brahma Bhava and Samsara Abhava happen simultaneously. Knowledge of Brahma Bhava and Samsara Abhava, there is no, not even a millisecond, microsecond, femtosecond difference. They happen simultaneously. The present tense does not even refer to an event. When I say fire is hot, this is a present tense not referring to an event of time, but it reveals the fact that it is not time bound. Fire is hot regardless of whether it is present, past, future. When I say fire is hot, it is a present tense which reveals a fact, which fact is not a present fact, but an eternal fact. These are things we don't normally pay attention to understand them. When I say fire is hot, it is said in present tense. But that reveals a fact, which fact is not a present fact, but an eternal fact. Therefore, there is no gap between gaining jnanam and moksha. First, we say jnanena moksha. Through jnanam, we get moksha. And later, we say jnanam eva moksha. Jnanam only is moksha. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now, let us go to the word analysis. Muktipala aniyamaha. There is no such rule, aniyamaha, no such rule with respect to the palam, mukti palam, with respect to the result of liberation. Evam, as in the case of jnanam, or the result of knowledge. Evam, as in the case, we have to supply jnanam or the result of knowledge. Tad avastha avadrithehe. This is known from the scriptural definition of the state of liberation. Tad avastha, that state. Avadrithehe. It is repeated to indicate the end of the third chapter. Avadhyatehe, tadavastha avadhyatehe is repeated twice in the sutra. And the significance of the words is what? Muktipala aniyamaha means the result or the effect of liberation due to gaining knowledge. Muktipala. Aniyama. Aniyama means absence of the rule applied in the previous sutra that we saw. Jnana sadhanam and jnana. We said before vichara, jnana sadhanam, and jnanam, we said they are, we said it is different in that case. This rule is absent here. Instantaneous is the result of jnanam and moksha, whereas jnana sadhanam and jnanam may take a lot of time. Tat avastha avadritehe means scriptural definition, the definition of the state of liberation. From that, we come to the conclusion, and this particular conclusion. And Vyasacharya says, definition of moksha is Brahma Bhava alone. That alone is moksha. We never define moksha as a condition of the mind. These are all fundamental mistakes people can make. We never define moksha as a condition of the mind. Once you define moksha as a condition of mind, progression, time gap, all those things will come. It is not a condition of mind. Mind condition may change after knowledge. Refinement of mind is a byproduct and not the aim of the seeker. Aim of the seeker is jnana, moksha, not refinement of the mind. I am Brahman and not refined mind. I am not refined mind. I am Brahman. Refining the mind is not the aim of the seeker. Going to temple and getting prasada, that is not the aim. Moksha is the aim. Darshan is the primary aim when you go to the temple. I am not the mind, but I am Brahman myself. Like darshan is the primary aim to go into the temple, but ultimately moksha is the final. Shruti says, jnanam gives instantaneous Brahma bhava because knowledge happens to be I am Brahman. It is not an event of time, but it's a statement of fact. Therefore, the definition of moksha and the nature of knowledge makes clear that there is no difference between jnanam and moksha. And Shankaracharya says, in this adhikaranam also, the study is cause-effect relationship is between vichara and moksha. And in this adhikaranam, it also relates to relationship between vichara and moksha. Between vichara and moksha relationship, there is no time actually. The relationship that if jnanam is indefinite, naturally moksha also will be indefinite. If jnanam comes in this janma, moksha also will come in this janma only. And if jnanam comes in the next janma, moksha also will come in next janma only. This is a simpler interpretation. With this, the 52nd sutra, the last sutra, fourth pada, is also over. The third chapter is also over. Now let us have a very high level, bird's eye view of the third chapter. Here in sadhana adhyaya, we talked about all spiritual sadhanas in all the four padas. This third adhyaya is called sadhana adhyaya I already mentioned in the beginning, it's an introduction. So it talks about spiritual sadhanas in all the four padas. And in the first pada, the emphasis is on vairagya. And through sadhana chadushta sampatti, that is highlighted in that thing. Sadhana chadushta. And this was done in a peculiar manner, or by talking about the travel of a jiva after death. If you remember Panjagni Vidya, all those things it talked about. And jiva gati, so samsara varnanam, so the path of the jivas, all those things were described in detail. It is not for enjoying, but to get freedom from all this. And in the second pada, the jnana yoga sadhana was highlighted by analysis of tvam pada and tat pada and aikyam also was shown. That is from 25 to 30 sutras, those many sutras, he talked about all that. Jnana yoga sadhana, tat pada, tvam pada, all those vichara, so vichara dwara jnana was discussed. And in the third pada, upasanas were discussed, and this is to attain subtle intellect. Guna upasamhara nyaya was also highlighted, I mentioned at that time. The different attributes are to be combined. That is, all the different attributes are to be combined or not, that was also discussed. Then in the fourth pada, karma yoga is the central theme. General karma yoga is diluted karma yoga. Pancha mahayajna you can do in any manner you like. Do that with Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, all those things were taught. And classical karma yoga is ashrama karma yoga. Ashrama karma yoga, anushtana, of whatever ashrama a person is, as prescribed in the scriptures. Grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, brahmacharya ashrama, whatever vidya ashrama. And in that context, four ashramas were established. And the Purva Mimamsa, they do not accept that. They only think there is only one ashrama, that is Grihastha ashrama. We saw it in detail at that time. Whereas we say, Siddhantin say, all the four dharmas are established. Ashrama karmas were discussed as the prime component of karma yoga. All the ashrama karmas, they were discussed as the prime component of karma yoga. As part of sannyasa ashrama, duty, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, they were also highlighted as part of sannyasa ashrama. Duties of a sannyasi, brahmachari, they were all discussed in detail at that time. And for all these people, there is a religious duty as an offering to Lord, that is karma yoga. Whatever action you do it as an offering to the Lord. Thus, sadhana chaturtaya sampatti, jnana yoga plus karma yoga is sadhana adhyaya. The third chapter is what? Sadhana chaturtaya sampatti, jnana yoga, karma yoga, all these are sadhanas. With this, we complete the third chapter. Now let us go to the fourth chapter. And we completed the third adhyaya Brahma Sutra. This is called Sadhana Adhyaya, as I said. And today, let us go to the fourth chapter, which is the final chapter, the final adhyaya of Brahma Sutra. Let us first see a brief general introduction to this chapter, the fourth chapter. And before going too far, too much, let us take stock of the situation so far. We have completed three chapters. We have completed 75% of the course. It's not a course in that sense, like when people are, these are lectures I just gave. Totally 16 sections are there, and we have completed 12 sections because each adhyaya has four sections, three chapters, 12 sections. And of the 191 topics or adhikaranams in the entire Brahma Sutra, we have completed 153 of them, or 85% of Brahma Sutra. So even though we are telling 75% of the course we completed, 85% of Brahma Sutras is completed because number of sutras are more. As mentioned earlier, there are 555 Brahma Sutras, and we have seen so far 477 of them. And there is one more chapter, that is the fourth chapter, that I hope to complete also with the grace of my Guru. And the fourth chapter has four padas and 38 adhikaranas or topics with 78 sutras. So we have to see still 78 sutras to complete the entire Brahma Sutra discussion. Now let us first see a general introduction to the fourth chapter. So when I say we will take a stock of the situation, I just wanted to know where we are in our growth or in our progress from starting the Brahma Sutra discussions. It is more for me, actually. For you also, it is, of course, for people who are regularly attending, it is important. So it takes time. Let us first see the general introduction to fourth chapter. It is called Phala Adhyayaha. And it is natural consequence of sadhana adhyaya. When you do sadhanas, then there is phalam for the sadhana one does. And this is the natural consequence of sadhana adhyaya, which was the third chapter that we just completed. And any sadhana should produce phalam. And this phalam is topic of the fourth chapter, especially saguna nirguna vidya. Vidya is taken in two meanings. One is saguna vidya and another is nirguna vidya. Saguna vidya is upasanas that we have seen many times. And nirguna vidya is taken as jnana. And the saguna upasana and nirguna jnanam together we call saguna nirguna vidya. And here we talk of their phalam. What is the phalam? Phalam is mukti for both. And again, three types of mokshas. Mukti also will be discussed in the entire fourth chapter. Namely, Jivan Mukti. You know what is Jivan Mukti? Jivan Mukti is liberation while living in this body itself. And the second one is Videha Mukti. That is liberation after the fall of this body. And the third one is Krama Mukti, in which Jiva does not get liberated here, travels to Sargaloka and gain Nirguna Jnanam and get ultimate moksha. Brahmaloka, Sargaloka, when I say it's Brahmaloka. So of the three types of muktis, the first two are meant for those gaining Nirguna Jnana or Nirguna Vidya. Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti. And Saguna Vidya or Upasana will give Krama Mukti. And all the three are talked about in the fourth chapter. And all are actually mixed together. When we discuss, we identify them. And this chapter has got four padas. All the four padas talk about the threefold muktis. And the topics are intermixed. They talk of topic division based on predominance of a particular topic. Pada one is Bandha Nivritti Pradhana Pada. Freedom from all bondage, bandha nivritti. Freedom from all bondage, karma. And the second, that one this focuses on, second pada discussed, focuses on departure of prana at the time of death. Utkranti. We have seen this mantra also earlier. Utkranti, prana. Jivan mukti will have utkranti. Or krama mukti will have utkranti, will be discussed. And the third pada is shukla gati pradhana pada. That is, it talks about Shukla Gati, Krishna Gati, Shukla Gati and all I have discussed also in Brahma Sutra. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita and all, we have discussed them in detail. And details of Jiva's travel is talked regarding Devatas. All those things are talked in the third pada of this chapter. And fourth pada is Brahma Prapti Pradhana Pada. Brahma Prapti is highlighted. It includes Saguna Brahma Prapti of Upasakam and Nirguna Brahma Jnanam of Jnani. Be careful when I say the words Saguna Brahma Prapti of Upasaka, Nirguna Brahma Jnanam of Jnani. And we should be alert to know what talks of Saguna Upasaka and what talks of Nirguna Jnani. All that we will identify during our discussions. Mukti is attained by both Saguna Upasaka, Nirguna Jnani, both attain. Only the Marga is different. Because of the common word Mukti, this may confuse. Of course, Shankara Bhashya makes it very clear. This is the general introduction to this fourth chapter. The first adhyaya, the first pada of this chapter, it deals with how vidya removes papam. Vidya means knowledge. How it removes papam. When we use the word vidya, it will refer to saguna vidya or nirguna vidya will be the question. And the first pada highlights bandha nivritti, so it is called Jivan Mukti Pradhana Pada. Bandha Nivritti means freedom from all bondages. And because of that, it is called Jivan. When all the bondages are removed, then the person and jnanam comes, a person can get Jivan Mukti. So it is Jivan Mukti Pradhana Pada. This is the topic of the first part. It has 14 adhikaranams, 14 topics and 19 sutras. Interestingly, 8 adhikaranams are part of the previous chapter only. 8 adhikaranams of the first pada of fourth chapter, they are part of the previous adhikaranam, previous chapter only. It is so because the 8th adhikaranams with 12 sutras deal with sadhanas only. Previous adhyaya va sadhana adhyaya. And these 8 adhikaranams of the fourth pada also talk about sadhanas. So it is part of that. For 8 adhikaranams, 8 topics, 12 sutras. They should legitimately belong to the third chapter only. Only 6 adhikaranams with 7 sutras alone relate to first pada of the fourth chapter. This is the outline of the first pada. Now let us enter into the first sutra of the adhikaranam of first adhyaya or first pada. And first adhyaya, first pada. The first adhikaranam is called Avrityadhikaranam. Avrityadhikaranam, meditation on Brahman, that should be continued till knowledge is attained. That is what the message is going to be communicated here. So Avrittihi Asakrit Upadeshat. Avrittihi Asakrit Upadeshaha. First Sutra, first pada, fourth chapter, 478th running Brahma Sutra. The sutra states that constant practice of meditation is necessary. Constant practice of meditation is necessary. Now let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam itself. As we said earlier, the first 8 adhikaranams, they deal with sadhanas only. That is why we said it should be part of mostly the third adhyaya only. This is a small adhikaranam with only 2 sutras, first 2 sutras. And the sadhana dealt with here is what? The primary sadhana of jnanam and moksha, that is shravanam and manam. It is suggested in the very beginning of the Brahma Sutra itself, this jignasa alone defined variously in different contexts. So this jignasa, that alone is defined variously in different contexts. And another name for jignasa is vichara, another name for inquiry. So jignasa and vichara, both are inquiry, they talk about. Also it is said as jnana abhyasaha also. Another word used is jnana yoga also by later people. So it is jnana abhyasa, vichara, jignasa, jnana yoga, all are synonyms. In Kathopanishad, Yamadharmaraja uses the word adhyatma yoga. And the last expression is shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So all these things are all synonyms. This is the Vedantic prescription for jnanam and moksha. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is the Vedantic prescription for jnanam and moksha. All the words, as I told, are all synonyms. Any action or pursuit for that matter. One question arises in the mind is, how long should I go and how much I should do and how often I should do if I want to gain this jnana? How long I should meditate? All those things. The moment, for example, doctor gives a prescription, you ask the question, how long you should take that medicine? They will say, complete a course, if it is antibiotic and all that. Vidhi means duration. When there is a vidhi, there is a duration. That question comes. Vidhi means how often, how much, how long. All those questions have to be answered if you say it is a vidhi. In Karma Kanda, we have a lot of vidhis. In Karma Kanda, Veda prescribes the duration, frequency, all that it does. Do this particular japa for so many times, so many days, all that. In Veda Purva Bhaga, Karma Kanda, Veda prescribes the duration, the number, all that clearly. Since we do the thing to get the palam, because what is the intent there? I want to get some palam by doing certain japas or certain pujas. Since we do the thing to get the palam, and the palam offered by the Veda is in the form of Adrishta palam. Adrishta means invisible result. That is called punyam. By performing certain good karmas, you get punyam, which is an adrishta palam. You cannot see it. If the Veda prescribes a jaba, or Varuna Japa, for example, to get rain. And how is Varuna Japa is going to produce rain? The sound of the mantra is to produce an adrishta palam, and that will produce the rain. This is how scriptures say. So also other benefits, whatever other benefits the person wants. Now the question is, how many times I am to chant for getting this adrishta palam? The number of avritti, this is called avritti, how many times you have to chant, is indicated in the Veda itself. Karmakanda portions, they always say all that. The whole thing is suprasensuous. It is apavrishaya suprasensuous. In Karmakanda, they have prescribed a rule. When Shastra prescribes the number of times, you have to follow it blindly. Don't ask. If they say 100 times repeat, keep on repeating 100 times. Don't say, oh, will it get more benefit if I say 1,000 times? Or will it get less benefit when I say 10 times only? All those questions cannot ask. Shastra prescribes the number of times, you have to follow that number blindly. When Shastra does not specify the number, that will be our interest. When it says the number, okay. When it doesn't specify the number, what will I do? At that, what should I do? You have to do only once. When it doesn't specify the number, you do it only once. This is presented in the form of a rule. So wherever Veda Vidhi is there, you should follow to get Adrishta Palam. This is Shastra Vidhi. In Sutra 3447 of Brahma Sutra, we already saw that. We have studied this aspect. Sahakaryantara Vidhi Adhikaranam, that is the name of the Adhikaranam. That is the 14th topic of fourth pada, third chapter. Sahakaryantara Vidhi Pakshena Tritiyam Tadvato Vidyadivate. That was the Sutra, 47th Sutra, fourth pada, third chapter, 472 running Brahma Sutra. We have said there it is a Niyama Vidhi. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, they are all Niyama Vidhi. And if it is so, how many times I should do Shravanam? Vidhi produces Adrishta Palam, we said. This is the debate in this Adhikara. I hope I laid the context clearly. And here Purva Pakshi says, you apply here the Purva Mimamsa rule. There is a rule in Purva Mimamsa Shastra. If it does not mention the number, how many times it should be recited, then it is taken as one, only once. And what is the logic of the Purva Pakshi? He says, Shastra mentions only once and it does not give number of times. So you just only do once. And Siddhanta says, no, this has to be done during the whole time. You cannot just do once and stop. And what is the logic that is going to be given here by the Siddhanti? The logic is, when the benefit is adrishta palam, invisible result, you depend upon Shastra only. All sadhanas are meant for jnanam, and jnanam does not come under adrishtam. Whether I have got jnanam, etc., I should know myself. Jnanam, it is not an adrishta palam. If I get jnanam now, I should know right now. None can know about yourself other than yourself. My own Sakshi Chaitanyam reveals my mental condition with respect to Jnanam or Ajnanam. This is with respect to any knowledge. This is also a type of Jnanam only. Whether you have doubt or not, you alone know. Since it is Drishtapalam, so when you know it is a Drishtapalam, you decide. It is not decided by even your Guru nor even Shastram. And for this in Purva Mimamsa, an example is given. Drishta Pala Vishaye, in the case of Palam, visible Palam, it is to be decided by the person, not Shastra. There is a Vidhi in Purva Mimamsa. Before performing an Yaga, they have to prepare several materials for Yaga. And they have to take varieties of grains also. This I have given this example earlier in some other context in our Brahma Sutra discussions itself. And one of the grain required is paddy. And the Shastra says, you remove the husk and de-husking has to be done. So you bring fresh paddy and from the paddy, you have to de-husk it to get the grain. It is also a vidhi to remove the husk. How to remove the husk? And how should I do the de-husking job? Shastra says, the method also it will prescribe. You cannot do any by any other method. Vidhi means the number comes. Here, Shastra does not mention how many times you have to, how many times you have to do to remove the husk. How do you decide? The Purvapakshi argues, you apply the Purva Mimamsa rule. If an action prescribed for producing punyam, then you have to do only once, then punyam is generated. Because punyam is adrishta palam, you don't know. So you do just only, you cannot know also. So you do only once. But here what are you doing? This is drishta palam. Husking, de-husking, pounding that grain, the paddy. So pounding is not prescribed for adrishta punyam, but drishta palam only of removing husk and the paddy, because you have to know that the paddy is de-husked and you got the rice grain you got. So it is to be seen. So whether the rice is separated from the husk or not, that palam is drishta palam. So the palam can be seen. Shastra need not and will not say how many times to pound. And so our conclusion is, until the de-husking is complete, keep on pounding. It is not like the adrishta palam, doing only once. This is decided by looking at the de-husking process. Sadhaka is to decide. Similarly, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam is not producing a punya which gives result after death. It is not the palam intended by Vedanta. Jnanam or wisdom or knowledge is intended, whether I know or not, or teaching is a fact of, or for me or not. I want this, jnanam. Whether I know subject matter is fact or not, or when I say I am free, for my own innermost heart, it is a statement of fact or statement of fact quoted by a guru. If it is a statement of fact quoted only by a guru, I have not got that jnanam yet. Until it is a fact for me, I have to continue shravanam, mananam, nididhyasam. You keep on doing until you say, I am free here and now. Not because the setup is conducive, it is in spite of the setup. Whatever may be the setup, I am free here and now. If the statement comes from within, then shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam need not be there anymore. Now let us go to the word analysis. Avrittihi means repetition. Repetition, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. We don't look upon shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam as three totally different existences. Three different names, and they are there though, but they all refer to not different existences. They are the same existence. In the three, the common factor is what? Brahma Pratyaya Avrittihi. There is repeated thought centered in the mind of Brahman. Therefore, in Shravanam, by studying Veda, etc., even though we do varieties of things, the central idea is Brahma Atma Aikyam. I am whole. I am whole should be the conclusion. I am free. And I am free should be the conclusion all the time. In Mananam, even though the existence appears to be different, by negating all systems of philosophy, and negation is to remove the obstacles to entertain the thought, I am free. All obstacles have to go away. Each darshana may say something, but I should have a doubtless knowledge, ownership, that I am free. So any system that entertains the thought, I will be free later, then I will negate the thought. Any system that entertains the thought, I will be free later, not now, then I will negate that thought. Whatever obstructs the statement that I am free, you weed all of them out. All times you think that I am free, I am free, I am free. Nididhyasanam also Brahma Pratyaya Avrittihi only, unlike Yoga Shastra. In Vedanta, Vritti Avritti is the aim. Vritti means thoughts. Avritti, again and again thinking the same thing. Vritti Nirodha, you remove the thought, and in Vedanta, you maintain the thought. In Yoga Shastra, there is Vritti Nirodha. Here in Vedanta Shastra, you maintain the thought, I am free in spite of the setup. In spite of the setup, I am free. So, Brahmatma Avritti Pratyayam, and even if you don't do it, it is a fact. Only you have to own it up. It is a fact. Vyasacharya says, Shruti itself is the pramanam for this. You do this either in the form of Shravanam or Mananam or Nididhyasam. We insist on Brahma Pratyaya Avritti. Avritti means repetition. Entertaining the thoughts all the time only, I am Brahman, I am free. I am ever free. Insisting, do Brahma Pratyaya Avritti until it is not required. Whenever you are sitting quiet or whatever it is, think about this only, this thought only, entertain only this thought. And the sutra states that constant practice of meditation is necessary. It doesn't give it as a choice. It is necessary. As we said, this chapter deals with the palam of Brahma Vidya, dealing with Jivan Mukti. Here it is, palam is Jivan Mukti. In this Janma itself, one gets liberated. And again, Videha Mukti. And then Krama Mukti, as the case may be. He talks of Bandha Nivritti here. All bondages, whatever bondage is there, will be removed. Bandha. So, Brahmatmaka Pratyaya is to be repeated again and again. And the pramanam for this is Shruti itself, emphasizing the avritti by using the three separate avrittis. Namely, Shravana Rupena Pratyaya Avrittihi, Manana Rupena Pratyaya Avrittihi, and Vyasa Nidhyasana. And we should never get away from Aham Brahma Asmi. That knowledge, I should never get away from that. So in each existence, we remove different obstacles for this Pratyaya. First one also Pratyaya is same. Obstacle handled is different. It is like a person going to three different doctors, for example. If one health is aim, why do you go to different specialist doctors? The goal is same in all the three cases. I want good health. So also in the case of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasana. Main aim is Aham Brahmasmi. Depending on your condition, you may have three different conditions. For each condition, there is a specialist. So you go to that specialist for that condition. And your aim is only to have a good health. Here also, in Shravana Mananam Nididhyasanam, main aim is to have to own up Aham Brahmasmi. The difference between the first Aham Brahmasmi, that is first Shravana, and third Aham Brahmasmi, that is Nididhyasanam, is Jnanam only is same in both the cases. So the various Shruti Pramanams from various things like Bhargadaranyaka Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, they are all given in various places. Atma Vare Drashtavyaha, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha. We saw that thing in Maitreya Brahmana, Bhargadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 5th Brahmana, 6th mantra. Tameva Dhiraha Vijnayam Pragyam Kurvita Brahmanaha. And Nanudhyayat Bahuchabdan Vacho Viglapanam. Kita Diti. That is again Brihadaranyaka, 4th chapter. Sonveshtavyaha, Savijignasitavyaha, and Chandogya, 8th chapter. So we have seen all these various quotations which allude to this fact. The qualified student should gather knowledge and then he should not leave Vedanta. May you get soaked in Vedanta. Sonveshtavyaha, Savijignasitavyaha. And if possible, gradually reduce your other activities and increase your nivritti so that you can get more and more soaked in Vedanta. So, avritti, repeatedly thinking and again and again and again, is emphasized in this particular sutra. Tame vaikyam janata atmanam anyavacho vimunchata. Anyavacho vimunchata. All don't talk of any other subject matter. Anyavacho. And save time. And save it for the teaching. And next one is also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This also we have seen earlier. The 5th Brahmana, Kahola Brahmana, 3rd chapter. The entire chapter we have seen many instances in that. So all of them insist upon remaining in this knowledge, which is called Jnana Nishtha. Remaining in this call is called Jnana Nishtha. Allowing the knowledge to perpetrate into every thought of mind. Every response of life situation should be soaked in Vedanta. How a person, by having all these definitions, all these things, we also understand how a jnani is. The knowledge to perpetrate through every thought of a jnani, every response of situations, they are all soaked in Vedanta only. It should be there in every action I do. It does not happen by mere understanding, but by soaking in Vedanta. I am immersed, soaked, dripping wet. That is why Shankaracharya invariably translates Nishta into sannyasa. He likes sannyasis very much because he became a Bala sannyasa. So, and his idea is being in Vedantic atmosphere as much time as possible in mind. And sannyasa ashrama gives the conducive opportunity for that. That's why he likes sannyasa ashrama. So through sannyasa, mind can always be in the teacher. Through sannyasa ashrama, the sannyasi's mind can be always in the teacher. Now with this, the general analysis, we can now go to the word analysis of this sutra. Avrittihi asakrit upadeshat. That is the sutra. First sutra, first pada, fourth chapter. 478th running Brahma Sutra. And what are the words? There are three words. Avrittihi. Avritti refers to repetition of Brahma Vritti or Brahma Pratyaya Avritti, that is to be done, the Brahman thought. Asakrit Upadeshat. This is known from the repeated scriptural injunctions, Upadeshas, or prescriptions. Now let us see the significance of the words. Avrittihi, Avrittiki means repetition of thoughts. And this word differentiates Vedantic meditation from yogic meditation. From yogic meditation, and there also, you know, dharana, dhyana, all those things we are all having in the Ashtanga Yoga. We have seen all that. So that dhyana, that meditation, yogic meditation is there. Here, Vedantic meditation is talked about. In yogic meditation, what happens? Thought elimination is the aim. Chitta vritti nirodaha. I have told that earlier. Patanjali Yoga Sutra. At that time, we have defined it. That is the aim in the yogic meditation. And Vedantic meditation is what? Thought repetition is the aim. It is not thoughtlessness, thought repetition. Vritti, what is the vritti here? Aham Brahma Asmi Aikya Vritti. That is avritti. Again and again, you should indulge on that vritti, that thought. I am Brahman, I am Brahman. Shravanam has thoughts, Mananam has thoughts, and Nididhyasanam also has thoughts. We never talk about Chitta Vritti Nirodha anytime in Vedanta. We don't question the possibility of thoughtless thought. We don't question the possibility of thoughtless thought at all, but it is not part of Vedanta Shravana Mana Nididhyasana. If Yoga Sastra, Patanjali's Yoga Sastra has thoughtless thought, that's fine. But in our case, we say it is not part of Vedanta Shravana Mana Nididhyasana, there is thought. Then Kartavya is understood. If it is that, then it's Kartavya, it's a duty. Avritti includes Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. And Asakrit Upadeshat, repeated, Asakrit refers to repeated Upadeshas. The injunction or the Vedic commandments, some acharyas actually, they have different opinion also. Asakrit means many times. So whether it should be connected with Avritti or Upadeshat, they all have discussions. Whether Asakrit should be Avritti or with Upadeshat. Should you say Asakrit Avritti? Or should we say because of many times injunctions? Majority of acharyas take it as many times. Many times or injunction. So injunction is taken by Shankaracharya. Many acharyas say it as many times repetition. But Shankaracharya says it's an injunction. That is better because many times avritti need not be said. You know why? Because the word avritti itself means doing repeatedly. So there is no need to say many times avritti. Avritti itself means repeated. Injunction is what Shankaracharya takes. That's a better meaning. So avritti has got inbuilt meaning of many times, implying repetition. So asakrit means many times. With this, now the first sutra is over. Now maybe we'll go to the next sutra, second sutra in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti vinasaya parasamaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamidachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi.